everyone, welcome to another episode of The Pop Read. In this episode, we'll be reading chapters 18 and 19 of The Heroes of Olympus, Lost Hero. This chapter's name is Leo. It seemed he slept only for a second, but when Piper shook him awake, the daylight was fading. "We're here," she said. Leo rubbed the sleep out of his eyes. Below them, a city sat on a cliff overlooking a river. The plains around it were dusted with snow, but the city itself glowed warmly in the winter sunset. Buildings crowded together inside high walls like a medieval town. Way older than any place Leo had seen before. In the center was an actual castle. At least Leo assumed it was a castle with massive red brick and a square tower with peaked green gabled roof. Tell me that's Quebec and not Santa's workshop, Leo said. Yeah, Quebec City, Piper confirmed. One of the oldest cities in North America. founded our 1600 or so. Leo raised an eyebrow. Your dad do a movie about that too. She made a face at him, which Leo was used to, but it didn't quite work for her new glamorous makeup. I read sometimes, okay? Just because Aphrodite claimed me doesn't mean I have to be an airhead. Feisty, Leo said. So you know so much. What's the castle? A hotel?
I think, Leo laughed.
No way. But as they got closer, Leo saw she was right. The entrance was bustling with the doorman valets and porters taking bags. Sleek back luxury cars idled in the drive. People in elegant suits and winter cloaks hurried to get out of the cold. The north wind is staying in a hotel, Leo said. That can't be. Heads up, guys, Jason interrupted. We got company. Leo looked below and saw what Jason meant. Rising from the top of the tower were two winged figures, angry angels with nasty looking swords. Festus didn't like the angel guys. He swooped to a halt in midair, wings beating and talons bared, and made a rumbling sound in his throat that Leo recognized. He was getting ready to blow fire. Steady, boy, Leo muttered. Sometimes something told him the angels would not take kindly to get torched. I don't like this, Jason said. They look like storm spirits. At first, Leo thought he was right, but as the angels got closer, he could see they were much more solid than Venti. They looked like regular teenagers, except for their icy white hair and feathery purple wings. Their bronze swords were jagged like icicles. Their faces looked similar enough that they might have been brothers, but they definitely weren't twins. One was the size of an ox with a bright red hockey jersey, baggy sweatpants, and black leather cleats. The guy clearly had been in too many fights because both of his eyes were black. And when he bared his teeth, several of them were missing. The other guy looked like he just stepped off one of Leo's mom's 1980s rock album covers. Journey, maybe, or Hall and Oates, or something even lamer. His ice white hair was long and feathered into a mullet. He wore pointy toe toed leather shoes, designer pants that were way too tight, and a god-awful silk shirt with the top three buttons open. Maybe he thought he looked like a groovy love god, but the guy couldn't have weighed more than 90 pounds, and he had a bad case of acne. The angels pulled up in front of the dragon and hovered their swords at the ready. The hockey ox grunted, "No clearance." "Excuse me," Leo said. "You have no fight plan or file."
"Oh.
Fight plan or file," explained the groovy love god. On top of his other problem, he had a French accent. So bad, Leo was sure it was fake. "This is restricted airspace. Destroy them." The ox showed off his gap toothed grin. The dragon began to hiss steam, ready to defend them. Jason summoned his gold sword, but Leo cried, "Hold on! Let's have some manners here, boys. Can I at least find out who has the honor of destroying me?" "I'm Cal," the ox grunted. He looked very proud of himself, like he'd taken a long time to memorize that sentence. "That's short for Callus, the love god," said. "Sadly, my brother cannot say words with more than two syllables. Pizza! Pizza! Hockey! Destroy!" "Destroy," Cal offered. Which includes his own name. The love god finished. "I am Cal," Cal repeated, "and this is Zethus, my brother." "Wow," Leo said. "That was almost three sentences, man. Way to go." Cal grunted, obviously pleased with himself. "Stupid buffoon," his brother grumbled. They make fun of you, but no matter. "I am Zethus, which is short for Zethis, and the lady there," he winked at Piper, but the wink was more like a facial seizure. "She can call me anything she likes. Perhaps she would like to have dinner with a famous demigod. Before, we must destroy you." Piper made a sound of gaggling on a cough drop. "That's a truly horrifying offer." "It is no problem," Zethus wiggled his eyebrows. We are very romantic people. We Boreads." "Boreads?" Jason cut in. "Do you mean like the son of Boreas?" "Ah, so you've heard of us," Zethus looked please. "We are our father's gatekeepers, so you understand we cannot have unauthorized people flying in his airspace on creaky dragons, scaring the silly mortal people." He pointed down below. Leo saw that the mortals were staring to take notice. Several were pointing up, not with alarm yet more with confusion and annoyance. Like the dragon was a traffic helicopter flying too low, which is sadly why, unless this is an emergency landing, Zethus said, brushing his hair out of his agony-covered face, "we will have to destroy you painfully." "Destroy," Cal agreed, with a little more enthusiasm than Leo thought necessary. Wait, Piper said. "This is an emergency landing." "Ah!" Cal looks so disappointed. Leo almost felt sorry for himself. Leo almost felt sorry for him. Zethus studied Piper, which of course he had already been doing. "How does the pretty girl decide this is an emergency, then? We have to see Boreas. It's totally urgent. Please." She forced a smile, which Leo figured must have been killing her. But she still had that blessing of Aphrodite thing going on, and she looked great. Something about her voice, too. Leo found himself believing every word. Jason was nodding, looking absolutely convinced. Zethus picked at his silk shirt. Probably making sure it was still open wide enough. Well, I hate to disappoint a lovely lady, but you see, my sister, she would have an avalanche if we allowed you. And our dragon is malfunctioning, Piper added. It could crash any time. Festus shuddered helpfully, then turned his head and spilled gunk out of his ear, spotting a black Mercedes in the parking lot. No destroy? Cal whimpered. Zethus pondered the problem. Then he gave Piper another spasmodic wink. Well, you are pretty. I mean, you're right. You're pretty. I mean, you're right. a malfunctioning dragon. This could be an emergency. Destroy them later, Cal. Destroy them later? Cal offered, which was probably as close to friendly as he ever got. It will take some explaining, Zethus decided. Father has not been kind to visitors lately. But yes, come, faltry dragon people. Follow us. The Boreads sheathed their swords and pulled smaller weapons from their belts. At least Leo thought they were weapons. But then the Boreads switched them on, and Leo realized they were flashlights with orange cones, like the ones traffic controller guys use on a runway. Cal and Zethus turned and swooped toward the hotel tower. Leo turned to his friends. I love these guys. Follow them. Follow them? Jason and Piper didn't look eager. I guess, Jason decided, we're here now, but I wonder why Boreas hasn't been kind to visitors. He just hasn't met us. He just hasn't met us, Leo whistled. Festus, after those flashlights. As they got closer, Leo worried they'd crash into the tower. The Boreads made right for the green gabbled peak and didn't slow down. Then a section of slanted roof slid open, revealing an entrance easily wide enough for Festus. The top and the bottom were lined with icicles like jagged teeth. This cannot be good, Jason muttered. But Leo spurred the dragon downward, and they swooped in after the Boreads. They landed in must have been the penthouse suit. But the place had been hit by a flash freeze. The entry hall had vaulted ceilings 40 feet high, huge draped windows, and lush oriental carpets. A staircase at the back of the room led up to another equally massive hallway, and more corridors branched off to the left and right. But the ice made the room beauty a little frightening. When Leo slid off the dragon, the carpet crunched under his feet. A fine layer of frost covered the furniture. The curtain didn't budge because they were frozen solid, and the ice-coated windows let in weird watery light from the sunset. Even the ceiling was furry with icicles, as for the stairs. Leo was sure he'd slip and break his neck if he tried to climb them. Guys, Leo said, fix the thermostat in here and I would totally move in. Not me. Jason looked uneasily at the staircase. Something feels wrong. Somebody up there? Festus shuddered and snorted flames. Frost started to form on his scales. No, Zethus marched over. though how he could walk in those pointy leather shoes, Leo had no idea. The dragon must be deactivated. We can't We can't have fire in here. The heat ruined my hair. Festus growled and spun his drill bit teeth. Okay, boy, Leo turned to Zethus. The dragon's a little touchy about the whole deactivation concept, but I've got a better solution. Destroy? Cass suggested. No, man. You gotta stop with the destroy talk. Destroy talk. Just wait. Leo, Piper said nervously. What are you? Watch and learn, Beauty Queen. When I was repairing Festus last night, I found all kinds of buttons. Some you do not want to know what they do, but others... Here we go. Leo hugged his fingers behind the dragon's left foreleg. He pulled a switch, and the dragon shuddered from head to toe. Everyone backed away as Festus folded his origami. His bronze plating stacked together. His neck and tail contracted into his body. His wings collapsed and his trunk compacted until he was a rectangular metal wedge the size of a suitcase. Leo tried to lift it, but the thing weighed about 6 billion pounds. Yeah, hold on. I think, aha, he pushed another band, a button. He pushed another button and a handle flipped up on the top and wheels clicked out on the bottom. Ta-da, he announced. The world's heaviest carry-on bag. That's impossible, Jason said. Something that big couldn't stop, Zethus ordered. He and Cal both drew their swords and glared at Leo. Leo raised his hands. Okay, what did I do? Stay calm, guys. If it bothers you that much, I don't have to take the dragon as a carry-on. Who are you? Zethus shoved the point of his sword against Leo's chest. A child of the Southwind spying on us? What? No, Leo said. Son of Hephaestus, friendly blacksmith, no harm to anyone. Cal growled. He put his face up to Leo's, and he definitely wasn't any prettier at point blank. His bruised eyes and bashed his mouth. Smell fire, he said. Fire is bad. Oh, Leo's heart raced. Yeah, well, my clothes are kind of singed, and I've been working on oil. And no, Zethus pushed Leo back at sword point. We can smell fire, demigod. We assumed it was from the creaky dragon, but now the dragon is a suitcase, and I still smell fire on you. If it hadn't been like 3 degrees in the penthouse, Leo would have started sweating. Hey, look, I don't know, he glanced at his friends as really, guys, a little help? Jason already had his gold coin in his hand. He stepped forward, his eyes on Zethus. Look, there's a big mistake. There's been a mistake. Leo isn't a fire guy. Tell him, Leo. Tell him you're not a fire guy.
Alright, guys, this is a very long chapter. I know I don't really have any time, so we're gonna stop here and I'll keep reading this chapter.